Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi Shabtai. Thank you, sponsors. Thank you for the financial group, for the afternoon kollel, and thank you all for being here to learn together. What a great schus every Monday afternoon to be able to have a virtual kollel and to still be together. So we're going to continue the new limud that we began last week. Let me share my screen here. There it is. Okay. And let me pull all of you over here. Whoops. So we started a new limud last week, which I think is a fascinating question. Halavai, a question we should come back to having and struggling with, I hope, soon. And that was the question of who owns the right to set the thermostat. Some people are perpetually hot. Some people are perpetually and predictably cold. And the question is, while both all parties want to claim that they're the ones who have the right to control the thermostat, who in fact is the right to control the thermostat? The one who's too cold, can they make it warmer? Or the one who's too hot, are they allowed to make it cooler? Who should be the one who is in charge? Who should be the one who's in control? So let's begin quickly giving a review of what we saw so far and then finish this learning together this week. The first thing we established, even before we got to the question of the wrestling match over the thermostat, was adjusting a thermostat altogether on Shabbos. The question about the thermostat and setting it is not specifically a Shabbos question. During the weekday, too, different people have different body temperatures, different expectations, different layers of clothing, and that in itself is a question. That in itself is a question. But when it comes to Shabbos in particular, we saw the Shulchan Aruch says the following, and it's a mistake. The number one, the first makor should be Resh Ayin Vav, not Kuf Ayin Vav. And it said the following, that in lands where it's very cold, a Jew can ask a non-Jew to light a fire for the children, because children have the status, the default of all children is to have the status of a Chol HaShem B'Sakana. In a place where it's exceedingly cold, frigidly cold, then a non-Jew can even be asked to light a fire for a Jew, because HaKol Cholim Eitzel HaKor, Eitzel Tzina. Everybody's considered to be sick when it comes to the cold. You don't have to wait to actually contract an illness to come down with a flu or a cold because of the cold weather. Even in anticipation of the cold weather, if you're going to be exposed to the cold weather, certainly for a prolonged period of time, you will invariably get sick. That's what our mothers and bubbies all told us when they chased us to wear warmer sweaters and thicker coats on the way out of the house in the cold season. And therefore, Halacha 2 says, HaKol Cholim Eitzel HaKor, everyone is considered to be sick. So normally, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do anything that you can't do for yourself. Let's say, Issur D'Rabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition called Amir La'akum. Nevertheless, the rabbis made an exception when it came to our well-being, our health and well-being. And therefore, if it's a little bit cold for a child, and if it's very cold for an adult, and the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, you don't have to allude or hint to the child. You can even be explicit to the non-Jew. You can be explicit in telling them. Rav Moshe wondered, what about the opposite direction? The shul that had the air conditioning set on a timer to go on, and it turned out a cold spell came in. Lo and behold, last minute. And now, if the people daven in that shul with the air conditioning pumping, it's going to be frigidly cold. People may go home and they may forfeit tefillah b'tzibur, or they'll remain and they'll get very sick. They'll get cold. Can you ask the non-Jew to turn off the air conditioner? It's the not lighting a fire to create heat to avoid the natural cold. It's turning off the air conditioning in order to overcome the technological cold that the air conditioning is introducing. And Rav Moshe said, absolutely, you can. He gave several reasons, including the fact that this is Tzorchei Tzibur. One of the heterim for Amir La'akum is for the purpose of a mitzvah, Tzorech Rabim for the purpose of a great many people, and so on. Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss also discussed this, and as did Rav Moshe Sternbach. And Rav Moshe Sternbach said that we apply that principle, HaKor Gadol HaKor Cholam Eitzel Tzina. And he said we apply it even in the opposite direction. Not only can you turn off the air conditioning because you're too cold and you need it to be warmer lest you get sick, you can also ask the non-Jew to make it cooler, because being exposed to too much heat can also make you sick. In other words, adjusting temperature in either direction in order to prevent compromising one's health would be permissible. However, all of the poskim who address this question do so and say you should not rely on it lichatchila a priori. You should set the temperature correctly. You should adjust and anticipate change in temperature. It's all in the case that you didn't or couldn't that you'd be allowed to ask the non-Jew. And I add on to that, as we did last week, included in that is if there is a breakdown, if your air conditioning or your heat breaks, you don't have to allude or hint. You can explicitly ask the non-Jew to contact the repair people to come and to fix it, because otherwise prolonged exposure could make you sick. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Vosner, then got into these ancillary questions that we read, the short, quick questions, and he talked about the difference between a fan or opening a window or an air conditioner. When we moved over to the question of who has priority, Who has the first right to determine the thermostat and the temperature? Really, if you take a step back, it's a question of a conflict between neighbors. What happens in the interpersonal relationship between neighbors? Neighbors' obligation towards one another. Your kid takes his drum lessons and it's disturbing me. You've got a mill and you're grinding things and it's very loud. You're playing the music that you enjoy doing the dancing the kazatska to, the klezmer. You're, whatever the case may be, what right does a neighbor have to impose on another neighbor to cease and desist their activity because they feel they're being damaged or injured, if not materially, but metaphysically, as a result? And the Gemara discussed that in source number 8 we saw last time, the Gemara, Baba Basra, the Chav Beis Amid Beis, when it told the story about the bloodletter who would sit under the palm tree, but the blood then would sprinkle, it would ruin the fruit, it would both ruin the fruit and it would attract the birds that ruin the fruit, and can you ask them to leave? And the Gemara had a back and forth. Maybe it's only grumma, it's indirect damage by letting blood. You're not actually ruining the fruit or damaging the tree, you're simply exposing the blood which will attract the ravens which are going to come damage the fruit. And the Gemara said grumma in Nizikin, causing damage indirectly, is not something you're liable for. So why can you ask them or force them to move away? So we said, Grama ben Azikin is usur. You may not be liable, it's forbidden. Va'achzik, maybe they have a chazaka. Their family has been there bloodletting since 1902. They have a chazaka on the bloodletting underneath that tree. So there's no chazaka. We said, ain chazaka l'nezakin. When it comes to Nizikin, when it comes to damages or injuring another party, no, it doesn't matter how long it feels they have a set or established pattern of being there. And then we said, that this principle of Rav Nachman, that there's no chazaka, is when there's a damage that you could come to expect, like smoke or an outhouse where there's a chazaka. So a person who is delicate, an istanis, a person who has discomfort caused easily, is similar, is comparable to the smoke in the outhouse, and therefore one neighbor was allowed to impose on the other not to do the bloodletting there. And in fact, we saw that recorded in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat in Simen Kuf Nun Hey Seif Lamed Tes, exactly this halacha. You're going to shecht, you're going to do bloodletting, you're going to do experiments, you're going to run a laboratory, it's going to attract the birds. They're going to chirp and chirp and chirp and chirp, and they're going to bother all the neighbors because you're doing something that's attracting all the birds. And they're going to get blood on their feet, the birds, and then they're going to sit on the trees, and they're going to destroy the fruit. If you're going to financially lose out because your fruit will become damaged, your mango tree, you don't want to eat those mangoes, and no one wants to when they're covered in blood, or you can't sleep all afternoon, you got a migraine headed from the chirping of the birds, chayv levatel osa malacha, you can force the neighbor to cease and desist their behavior, or yarchik atchalei yivolen ezek machamason, or to distance himself so that his activity will not cause damage to you. Shehezek zedoma l'reach beisakise chiyotzibo she'en lo chazaka. It doesn't matter how long they've been doing it, they forfeit their right if the other person is an istanis, is sensitive to it, they have to cease and desist, or they have to move far away. Said the Chazon Ish, the last source we saw last time in source 10 was, said the Chazon Ish, that how you apply these principles is what's reasonable. What's reasonable, what's fair, what's balanced. Between neighbors, it's not fair to tell neighbors you can't walk upstairs. They rented their apartment above you to be able to walk around. However, you can tell them, please don't schedule tap dancing lessons at 2 a.m. That is unfair. So what the relationship is between neighbors and the ability to impose on neighbors in those interpersonal relationships and those expectations is determined, says the Chazon Ish, by a certain level of what is considered to be reasonable. Reasonable expectations and reasonable behavior. And that brings us up to where we left off last week. We continue there right now. Okay, let's see. Can I turn this, rotate this? How fancy can I be? Rotate view. There we go. Oh. Today, it used to be rabbis just had to prepare to teach Torah and work on their teaching skills. Today, you have to be technologically savvy, director, producer, and put it all together. Okay, this is from the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah from Tzvi Spitz, expert in Choshen Mishpat. It was translated by Art Scroll, Cases in Monetary Halacha. I have for you, we'll learn it together here in the original Hebrew, and on the next page, it appears in the English, which is now sideways. He was asked the following question. Ketzad yesh lino kashen imtzoim b'makam tziburi. What do you do in the public space? kigon ba'otobus be'beis hakinesis bu'ulam smachot on a bus in a shul or in a hall, a simcha hall. V'yesh lo manashim shirotzen la'achol on yepatuach v'yesh na'achirim ha'munyanim shiyeh sagur. Some say it's hot, we want a breeze, open the window. The others say, what are you talking about? It's too cold, the breeze, we're going to get sick. Close the window. Mi tzarach levater lemi. Who has to concede to whom? Who has the first right to determine? Should the window stay open? Should the window stay closed? Now, does this question make a difference? Maybe it's a husband and wife having the debate about their bedroom window. Maybe it is a tzibur. Why might that make a difference? Well, there's a lot of variables to consider and to weigh in this conflict of interests. There's the question of, is someone vulnerable? Is the person who might get too chilly, too cold, vulnerable to get sick, whereas the person who's too hot is just grappling with their discomfort? Maybe we don't really care about getting sick or discomfort. Maybe it should come down to numbers. It's a democracy. Do you run the thermostat democratically? You take a vote. Whoever votes they want it cooler, it goes cooler. Whoever has the numbers. You got to campaign and rally and get the troops to come out. You want it cooler, you want it warmer. What are their competing interests? So what are the variables that we include when we're determining what the halacha should be? This was the question. Does it make a difference when we talk about the fact that there is a conflict between individuals who want it? Some want the window open, some want it closed. The ones who want the window closed, do they want it closed also out of comfort? Or maybe they want it closed out of their own well-being. They're afraid they're going to get sick. If they're exposed, they can get sick. So here is the following. You ready? Here it is. B'yimei achoref hadinhu im misherotz lesgoras hachalon. In the winter, the rule is the one who wants the window closed. Afilum rav hanimtzam b'cheder rotzen shachalon yeshar patuach. You do not follow the majority. It's not democracy. Even if the majority in the winter want it open, but in the winter, you follow those who are too cold and want it closed. And b'mei hakayitz, in the summer, the opposite. Hadin im misha rotzesh niftoach es hachalon. Afilu im rov hanimtzayim b'cheder rotzen lesgor es hachalon. So he's consistent, Rav Spitz. It's a great name, Rav Spitz. And he says that it's not a function of the majority. The majority could be off their rocker. The majority could want the window to be open in the winter and closed in the summer, and they're all nuts. But it doesn't matter. It matters what's reasonable given the weather, the climate, given that time of year. In the winter, those who want the window to be closed, even if they're minority, have the first right. In the summer, those who want the window to be open, even if they're the minority, they have the first right. So much so is, does the time of the year, the season, influence who has precedence, so much so that even if the other party stands to be injured, stands to be sick, it doesn't matter. So in other words, the one who wants the window open in the winter, and the window should be closed in the winter, but the one who says, if you leave it closed, I have asthma, if you leave it closed, I get very hot spells, if you leave it closed, I'll dehydrate and pass out, too bad. The one who has, in the winter, it's normal and normative to leave it closed. In the summer, it's normal and normative to leave it open. And therefore, he paskins, we're going to see a different psukim, but the Mishpatei HaTorah paskins that the climate, the season, dictates the setting of the thermostat, not democratically, nor by vulnerability. So we have all these different variables that we could have considered. Maybe the most vulnerable, maybe those who potentially could be the most compromised should dictate. Maybe you follow the majority. Maybe you follow the season. He embraces that you follow the season. Where does that come from? Why does he say that? So look at the footnote. Number one. Mavur b'gemara, Maseches Baba Basra, Rofa hegar b'dira shayis lo gam chatzer prata. We saw this. In the dira shar Rav Yosef. Hayaraga lahakiz dam. This was the whole gemara in Baba Basra that we just reviewed. You could skip to the end of that paragraph. We paskin like that paragraph. Nifsak b'gemara shadinim Rav Yosef. We paskin that Rav Yosef was entitled to tell him find somewhere else to go. Rav Yosef was being damaged. His fruit and his trees were damaged by the blood letters. So based on this Gemara in Baba Basra, which we saw, the Gemara that sided with Rav Yosef,
who forced the bloodletters to find a new location for their business. He concludes that the Shulchan Aruch concludes based on this, and the Ramah adds that any discomfort caused by a person to his neighbor, that's difficult for the neighbor to endure. It's difficult to be sovel, to be forbearing and foreboding of it. So therefore the mazik, the one who's injuring, has to distance. Why? Because we look at the one who's injuring, the neighbor, as giri delay. Giri delay is halacha, different than grama. We have mazik biadayim, the person who injures directly. We have grama indirectly. And giri delay is an even more direct, it's shooting arrows. So if I am bloodletting in a way that attracts birds that then damage your property, that is giri delay. It's like shooting arrows. The mazik is responsible to stop the action which is causing the injury or the discomfort and must distance himself. He has to move. Consequently, in our case, since most people now, it's applied here, nimtzin came benidon ha-she'ila, mikevin shalarov b'nei adam mazik psichas chalam b'chorup b'nei atzina shnechneses darcho, what is normative? What's normal is to close windows in the winter. The majority here are not normal. I'm not giving a psychological assessment. I'm simply giving a statistical assessment. It's not normal or normative to want the windows to be open in the winter. Now, before everyone jumps on with their questions, I remember I used to live in the New York area also, and in the winter, you could have the heat from the radiator so oppressive that you need to crack the window in order to breathe. I remember that. I know that. I remember sitting through music class in YU. Professor Bart Bartholomew, he played classical music, and the heat was so oppressive. No student had a chance of staying awake in that class. You pump the heat in the winter, and then you start playing the classical music. You might as well sing a lullaby and hand out a blankie. It was good night, Charlie. It was difficult, that class. So I remember that radiator, the heat that came out of the radiator. You need to crack the window. We're not talking about you need to crack the window in order to combat the heat. We're talking Eretz Yisrael, where in the winter, you keep the window closed. The heat is a normal heat. It's not an oppressive heat. It's not a dehydrating heat. You don't have to crack the window. Normal people keep windows closed in the winter. We took a poll of all those gathered, and many are not normal. They are the unusual. They're the outliers who want the window open. Outliers don't get to dictate to those who are most normal. And similarly, the opposite in the summer. Who wants to sit in a hot room, no air conditioning, and leave the windows closed? Are you crazy? You need the breeze, the cross breeze. So even if you took a poll, and most people, Taka, they are crazy. Maybe they have thin blood. Maybe they're from Florida, and they want the window closed even in the summer. Too bad, that's not normative. V'lachein, komi shenimtza imatzibur bizmanim elu kidei lishtamish biyachad, al das keinu mishtatef. V'harotze lishanos nechshav lamazik v'yecholim shara shutfim l'chaivo livtoch olizgoras achalon. So you see Rav Spitz, you see his lamdas here based on the Gemara and Baba Basra, based on the Mechaber and the Ramah. What he's saying is the following. When you go to a shul, when you attend a simcha, when you are riding on a bus, when you're in a public space in the winter, you should not have any expectation other than the window is going to be closed. And for you to insist to open the window in the winter, you're a mazik. You're like the neighbor attracting the birds. You're like the neighbor playing the drums too loudly. You're not allowed. You have the lower hand, not the upper hand. Similarly, in the summer, you're attending a simcha, you're on a bus, you're in shul in the summer, you should have every expectation that the, so to say, prerequisite or condition of your participation was understanding that windows are open in the summer. And for you to insist that the window be closed in the summer, you're like the mazik, you're like the bloodletter who's attracting the birds. That's his tzushtel. That's how he is comparing our case halachically with the case of the Gemara in Baba Basra. Chazanish deals with the following question. You have an apartment building, and one resident, one apartment owner or renter, has a newborn baby. Mazel tov. They bring home their newborn baby. If you've ever been zocha to have a baby, you know that babies cry. It's natural. It's normal. So let's say there's a neighbor, and the neighbor has chalila, the flu, a cold, chas v'sholem, fighting coronavirus. And the neighbor says, that fashtunkin, a crying baby, is keeping me up all night. I have no chance of getting better. So the neighbor goes and grabs a Shulchan Aruch Hoshim Mishpat. The neighbor goes and grabs his Gemara Baba Basra Daf Chav Beis, shows it to the one with the newborn baby and says, "You're a mazik. You are damaging me. I can't sleep all night. I can't recover and heal. I'm never going to get better. You have to move. It's on you to move." Says the Chazanish, "No, it's not. Because it's normal to rent an apartment and have a baby. And the baby is bothering the neighbors. So, okay, what could you do? It's normal. And whoever rents an apartment should know they're renting the apartment or buying the apartment with the possibility that a neighbor is going to have a baby. That is implied, it's implicit, it's included in the understanding between neighbors that you may have a neighbor who has a baby. So even if the one who got sick moved in there, so the Kablan sells the apartments in the building, and the very first one to buy is somebody with an illness, the lightest sleeper with the worst prone to migraines, they buy the first apartment. And subsequently, people buy apartments and they have kids, they have babies. Even though the one who got sick, prone to migraines, was the first to buy an apartment, they're not entitled. They're not entitled to prevent their neighbors from having babies or forcing them to move once they have the babies. They're not entitled. Why? Because says the Chazon Ish, when you rent an apartment, it's implicit that you're going to have neighbors who will have babies. So again, the Chazon Ish is applying his reasonable standard. What is reasonable? I guess a Beis Din, a Rav, an expert in every location, has to help determine what's reasonable. So therefore, whenever you live in a neighborhood, when you buy in that neighborhood, you are accepting upon yourself the normal sounds produced by a neighborhood. Now, those of you watching from the Halakha Century Village, I don't know what the Psak of the Chazon Ish would be there. To get an apartment in Century Village, what do you have to be, 55 years old or up? Is that the residency requirement? 55? 60? 65? I think 55. 55. So you move to Century Village for some peace and quiet. You're getting out of the hustle and the bustle, the loud neighborhoods that you spent your whole life in. Because in Century Village, everybody eats the early bird special. You watch Jeopardy and you're sleeping by 6:45 p.m. And all of a sudden at 10 p.m., which is the middle of the night, I'm not making fun. I belong there myself at this point, by the way. So I'm not making fun. So at 10 o'clock at night, which might as well be the middle of the night, there's a crying baby. Why is there a crying baby? Because somebody's grandchildren are down for yeshiva break. Somebody decided to let their daughter, who just had a baby, convalesce in their apartment in Century Village while she's recovering with her newborn baby. She'll spend the first 3 years of this kid's life quiet, raising him. So maybe in Century Village, where it's not implicit when you move to a neighborhood that you have to tolerate the cries of a baby. Maybe the whole reason you move there is because there will not be cries of a baby. So that's where you have to apply and ascertain the Chazon Ish's standard of what is considered to be reasonable. The reasonableness standard, which is hard to do. So someone here asks, what about barking dogs? What about drum lessons? This is why it's really important to read the fine print in your lease or of your contract, because you have to know what's reasonable in that building. Some buildings allow pets, some don't. Some buildings allow instruments or allow the band to meet and practice there, some don't. So is there a decibel level that you could watch your afternoon kollel? Each area has to have its decibel level. Lorzos ben Yidon Shalom, so says Rav Spitz, in our case, most people don't want the window open in the winter, and they need the heat on, even on days where the sun is shining. Sometimes in the winter, you can get a summer day. Sometimes in the winter, you never in the summer get a winter day, unfortunately. But sometimes in the winter, you can get a summer day. So maybe those days would be the exception. You need some airflow. People leave the window open. So everyone on the bus has an equal right to be in the bus. Everyone in the simcha hall has an equal right to be attending the simcha. Everyone in the shul has the equal right to be in the shul. So what standard do you follow? Can the other claim they're being injured or damaged? The answer is whatever is reasonable. Having the window closed in the winter is reasonable. Having the window open in the summer is reasonable. It doesn't matter democracy, and it doesn't even matter vulnerability. Because just like somebody who's sick in my apartment next door doesn't preclude me from being allowed to have a baby that will scream in the middle of the night, because really the definition follows what's reasonable, what is a fair expectation, so too in these other public spaces. A bus, a simcha hall, or a shul. L'fiachach domer hadav l'divrei chazon ish yef shala akiva ra'ash hatinokos l'maroshay mezikin b'snagus on the b'riyas hacholam ki zeh ushtam shes b'gaz v'yadas kem ushtam from binyam shutaf v'wad din b'nidot n'dan. Similarly in our case. So basically, whatever area, a bus will have its own normal practices. A simcha hall, and again, you can't apply Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim and Muncie to Boca Raton. Every place, at every given time, is going to have what is the normative behavior on the bus, in the shul, on the simcha hall, in the house, in the HOA, in the Century Village versus an HOA made up of predominantly young families. Each one will have to determine what's normative behavior, and it doesn't follow majority, nor does it follow vulnerability. It follows what is normative. And the other does not have the status of a mazik if they're following what's normal to do. That is his conclusion. Let's rotate counterclockwise. Make it bigger. So therefore he says the following. So we talked about the winter and the summer, but there's also a spring and a fall. What happens in the spring and the fall? The winter and the summer is very clear-cut, black and white. Normal people in the winter keep windows closed. Normal people in the summer keep windows open. What about the in-between transitional seasons? We don't know of them in Florida. We only have one season the whole year. Hot and hotter and hottest. But in normal places, you have four seasons. So he says in the other two seasons, where there's not an absolute or fair expectation, then they have to navigate and negotiate. You got to mediate. Ooh, he throws in another variable. So he said, in the winter and the summer, when there's a fair expectation of what's normal, that's what you have to do, and we discount majority, and we discount vulnerability. However, in the fall and in the spring, where there's not what's normal, and there you have to navigate and negotiate. So if somebody stands to get sick, they have the upper hand. You'll see all the poskim come to this conclusion, a very Jewish conclusion, which is, even though halacha does dictate who has the right to control the thermostat, in this case, the thermostat being whether you open or close the window, but nevertheless, even though halacha may dictate who really has the upper hand, in the spirit of Shalom Bayis, and the spirit of Yisrael Kedoshim, Jewish people are holy, in the spirit of communal harmony, we should have a conversation, navigate, and negotiate it together. Okay, so that is all the Mishpatei, Torah telling us. Rav Spitz gives a Spitz psak, that is his psak, his view of what the halacha would be. The next one comes from a Sefer Torah HaYeshiva. I found these, I was not learning the Sefer Torah HaYeshiva of Rav Meir Pinchasi. I must admit to you, I must confess to you, but the great Otzer HaChachma enables you to search on the Otzer HaChachma and to find fascinating sources. So this is a Sefer called Torah HaYeshiva, basically guiding what is the appropriate behavior, the moral and ethical behavior for dormitory students, people trying to get along and live together in a yeshiva. And in that context, he has the following. B'nei yeshiva hayoshvim yachta b'chadre shi'urim b'beis medrash. You have b'nei yeshiva who are sitting together in the shiur room or in the beis medrash. V'yesh me'unyanim l'vtoach ez achalonos v'yesh ha'etzim l'skor gram. The same question we just saw. We're just giving it a holier setting than a bus or a simcha. Now they're learning Torah. Some want the window open, some want it closed. U'shchiach b'yeshivas harbe v'kuchim me'inyanim elu. There are yeshivas where fist fights have broken out over this topic. They're probably learning Mesilas Yesharim and Orchas Tzadikim and Shari Tshuva, and then you get a fist fight over whether the window should be open or closed. Hadinu, what's the halacha? Bimei achorif hadinu mishirot lahasgir as achalon. Vafilum rova nimtzom b'cheder rotan shachalon yishar patuach. Bimei akayit hadinu mishirot lavtoach as achalon. Afilum rova rotan lesgor as achalon. So similar to the Mishpatei, similar to Psak of the Mishpatei Torah, that he says it does not follow the majority, even if the majority, in fact, is going in the opposite direction, you do not follow the majority, you follow the season. You follow the seasons. So this is when it comes to the window. And this is the same as the halacha we just saw in footnote Yud Aleph, he goes through it. It's important to remember, he says, that This is not something you can say, well, leave it open, leave it closed, who cares? Hakol bidei shamayim. Whether you're going to get sick or whether you're going to stay healthy, have a little emuna, have a little bitachon, put your faith in Hashem. We don't say that. Why? Because the Gemara Ksubas tells us that though Hakol bidei shamayim, everything is Hashem's hands, tzinim upachim, the cold weather, that if you go out and it's cold out and you get sick, don't blame God. When it comes to the weather, when it comes to the climate, when we expose ourselves to the elements and you can get sick, you don't say, Hakol bidei shamayim. Just like now, you don't say, I'm not going to wear a mask, I'm not going to socially distance, I'm going to act irresponsibly in public, and ooh, I have more amunah, and now I can have righteous indignation and be self-righteous and look down on the others because I have such yira shamayim. You don't have yira shamayim, you have the opposite of yira shamayim. Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mitzinim abachim. Everything's bidei shamayim, but when you can do things to protect your health and well-being, don't blame God, that was up to you. So on and so forth, he deals with this question in the footnote. Okay, back upstairs. Alko ponim, imefsha roi lenasos lispasha levatashnik, Lesheni kvi mashim. Zavsha, same thing. Try to make peace. We know that there's no kli that's machzik shalom. The greatest bracha there is, the greatest kli that there is the greatest bracha there is shalom, shalom bias, harmony, gadol shalom. And therefore, be a mavater. Even if you wanted the window closed or you wanted the window open, try to come to a peaceful solution in order to maintain the peace. Okay, all of that was with the window. But now we move over to the modern era. Now you've got a fancy schmancy shul. It's got air conditioning and fans. So you're not fighting over the window in yeshiva. They're throwing the chairs at each other's head over whether the window should be open or closed. Now we've moved over to the fancy shul. Have you been in Shtibluch in Eretz Yisrael? That it's great. It's geschmack. We should put this in the shul. Next to the air conditioner is a little slot. And if you put in 10 shekel, the air conditioner rings for 10 minutes. So the shul doesn't have to bear the large electric bill. In any given minyan, in the minyan factory, if someone deposits a few shekel, the air conditioning kicks in. And it lasts as long as their mincha. Anyone ever see that? It's fantastic. So now you got these fancy shuls that have got air conditioning. So part of the tzibur wants the air conditioning off, and part of them want it on. Osem shekar lahem yavu itam mi'il osveder kedil hagin al atzma me'akor. So the ones who are too cold, if the air conditioning is churning, they can always bring a sweater. They can always wear their coat. They can always wrap themselves in a scarf. Those who are too hot in the shul are not going to start disrobing. That's not appropriate anywhere, let alone in a shul. So therefore, what should the halacha be? And here he paskins, Rav, I skipped a page. I didn't skip a page, sorry, we moved on. The third opinion. The Ve'ein Lamo Mechshol, Rav Avram Yisrael. I apologize. So the Rav Avram Yisrael says, here with the air conditioning, and the fact that those who are too cold have an option. Let's rotate the view. So really, those who are too cold have something they can do, that those who are too warm don't. Those who are too cold can put on a sweater, and those who are too hot don't have that choice. So therefore, in the case of air conditioning, what is he paskin? You go by those who are too hot. Why? Because those who are too cold have a resolution. Those who are too hot have no resolution. So says Rav Avram Yisrael in his Sefer, Ve'ein Lamo Mechshol, that the halacha is with those who are too warm because they have something that they can do. But even they, Vasisa Yesha Atov Beni Hashem, should go above and beyond to try to maintain and preserve the peace and to let it go. Footnote 12. So that's what he says. How do you know if it's hot? We said if it's hot, everybody agrees the air conditioning should go. How do you know if it's hot? So if it's normal and reasonable to call this hot, then you have the air conditioning pumping. If this person says, 68 degrees is hot for me, I want the air conditioning to pump, that's not reasonable, and that's not normal. So what we've seen is that when it comes to these chosh and mishpat questions, when it comes to these interpersonal relationships of trying to preserve peace and harmony among neighbors, the factor that we most account for is what is reasonable, what is normative. When it came to the window, the season dictates and the season determines. Said Rav Tzvi Spitz, it all comes down to what season, and find an amicable resolution to maintain the harmony. Rav Meir Pinchasi also, it is the season, not the majority. For air conditioning, you consider the sensitive individual and the minority. So the second opinion said that when it comes to the air conditioning, someone can get sick. So you have to tolerate the heat, even if you'll be uncomfortable because the other person could get sick. And the third opinion said, no, the opposite. The person who's too cold has the ability to put on extra layers and to keep themselves warm. So what's the halacha, lamaisa? Who controls the thermostat in the shul? The answer is the mar da'asra and the custodian. That's who determines it. I happen to like it nice and cold. So everyone should bring extra layers if they need to stay warm. No, so that's the halacha. Is the person who could get cold, who could get sick, say, listen, tolerate a little discomfort, I'm going to get sick. Or does the other person say, no, put on 17 layers, I can't get any cooler. And that is a machlokas haposkim. And you can see the argument is compelling in both directions. Each shul and each home paskins how it paskins. Ask your local rabbi. What's most important, both in the home and public spaces when paskining, as we've seen in all these different shuvas, is to try to preserve the harmony, the peace, and the asisa hayasha v'hatov, is to try to be able to maintain shalom, because it is the greatest bracha that we can have. All right, we'll pick up with a new topic in Mirtz Hashem next week. Stay tuned for Rabbi Moskowitz in just a few minutes, and feel free to schmooze. Any questions? Rechtia, any questions?
No.
Unmuting everybody. Dangerous. You are hereby unmuted. No? Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right, my pleasure, everybody. Have a great day. Chodesh Tov.